What is up, our friends on the internet? It's the Tech Yeah Games podcast coming at you once again. I am your host, Tony, here with my lovely co-host, Leo.
Happy to be here, as always.
I'm so happy to be here, too, Leo. We're back on our normal schedule. We got some actual news today to talk about. I know.
It's kind of a relief. Like, we've never let that stop us before, but it's kind of nice to actually have something holding it all together.
Yeah, it is a real relief to not just kind of have to rap. I mean, it's... We have fun. We rap, and we do a good job of it, if I can say so myself.
A great job.
But it is nice to have some fulcrum points here to manage our conversation.
Yeah, and no spoilers, but it's one of Tony's favorite topics coming up. So
maybe my favorite topic,
probably the topic other than Final Fantasy 14 that we've talked about the most in the entire lifespan of the show.
Yeah. I would say one of the two things other than I argue about most on the internet, politics and this. Okay, so it'll be exciting to talk about. But before we get into that, Leo, what have you been playing this a week?
Yeah, I played a variety of things. Again, some of the old classics. I played some more Final Fantasy, played a little bit of Overwatch. A game I played some of and really enjoyed, but I don't have a whole lot to say, is DayZ, actually. Which I'd heard, you know, when it came out, it was the buzz around it was like, it's much better than anyone expected. And it was free on Epic, so we played it, and yeah, it's fun. It's very, like, you know, it's like, it's essentially third person Left 4 Dead, but it runs really well, and they did just, like, I've never seen the movie or read the book, but that whole, like, mountain of zombies thing that they do, it's very entertaining in the game. It really is, because you, like... There's so many, and it runs really well considering how many objects are on screen and everything. And there is something immensely satisfying about just, like, throwing a hand grenade into literally a mountain of zombies, and they explode. And, like, they did a really good job of just making it very tactically entertaining. It's not deep at all, nor does it need to be, but it is it's actually a really fun, super shallow, but very entertaining, quick multiplayer experience. So, yeah, I enjoyed that, but that pretty much covers it. But the game I did play a lot of and really want to talk about might be a surprise, and that's Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker.
Captain, did you get the $4?
Yeah! Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, Wario, I got it on Wario 64, that's where I first saw it. And essentially Walmart was selling DLC for that game, which came out a while ago, came out on the Wii U, and then they ported it to the Switch like every other Wii U game. And for whatever reason, the code would redeem with the DLC and the full game. So I got on it pretty late. I didn't actually expect it to work. And I went through the checkout process, and they sent me an email like, hey, this is backordered, and there's something weird going on, so you might have to get a refund. I was like, all right, whatever. And then a couple hours later, I got an email that said, here's your code. And sure enough.
I got the backordered email, and I never got another email.
Yeah, I think that's what happened to a lot of people. I guess I just got lucky for once. Would have taken that luck for a PS5 or a new GPU, but hey, this is the next best thing.
I'm still waiting. Maybe it will come, right? Because I haven't got an email saying it's canceled. So
I think it wouldn't take more than a couple hours.
But they didn't cancel it.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe. So who knows? You know,
it's not like a digital code can be backordered.
It can.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, because they can run out of like I'm looking at the order details right now, and it still says email will be sent preparing order Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. With my payment.
Someone in some weird digital stock room, like, gotta get Tony his code.
Yeah, we need him to ship us more codes.
Well, I hope you do get the code, because damn, that game is adorable. And
yeah, I thought my girlfriend would
sweet.
Love it. Like, I kind of wanted it because I thought, like, oh, this
anyone
is,
would love it.
All she's been playing is like Animal Crossing, and that's, you know,
oh, this is great.
She'll it's been dying it. Off, so I'm like, oh, I wish I could just put her in front of something, and this looked like the perfect thing to just be like. Why don't you play with this? You know,
it's like, awesome, man. It's like classic Nintendo in that it's you know, very accessible. It looks nice, but man, it's just so adorable. And it made me realize how absolutely hilarious I think Toad is. Like, as a character,
he really is.
They are very funny. Like, Toadette's hilarious. This game really leans into his personality, and like, he's always like screaming, and he's always scared of stuff. One detail I love is that whenever he walks past an open window. He just looks out the window and cups his hands and just like shouts for no reason other than joyful exuberance. And he's always smiling when he's walking around and exploring. And he just sounds so funny, you know, his weird little vocal cues like, oh no, all that stuff is like just constant throughout this game. And it's just, it makes me laugh so much and smile in a way that very few games do. So yeah, it's not the deepest game, but it is fun. It's a fun puzzle game. There's, you know, you can sort of set your own challenge level there on, additional things you can find. And of course, like with most Nintendo games, starts off very easy, child-friendly, but by the end gets pretty complicated and difficult. So yeah, I mean, I think it's worth full price for sure if you like puzzle games, but if you can get it on discount, then it felt really good to get that entire package for $4. And it felt great ripping off Walmart too.
Yeah, it always feels good to rip off Walmart. Yeah. $4.19 was the price. Yeah,
$4.20.
I got my fingers crossed that I'm going to get the $4.20 special, but we'll see if it goes.
Yeah, I hope you do, because it's really fun. It's very sweet. And you know, I play a lot of different games, but I play very few games that are just like so relentlessly charming and adorable in a way that is really cool. And doesn't feel like gross or saccharine in a way that it can, you know? It's like a good kids movie where it's engaging and cute and fun, but it's not patronizing or annoying. And I think this really ticks that box nicely, like most Nintendo first party games. I don't know if this is first party. Yeah, it is. But yeah, I hope you get it, because I would love to talk to you more about it.
Yeah, Toad has really had a glow up in this like Switch generation. I think the Wii generation too, even though no one played it, so I don't know.
Yeah, totally. I think that's when they realized, because that Mario game was really big Toad feature, and then this, they did realize like, hey, this kid's hilarious.
Yeah, the Mario Maker games feature Toads a lot, right? Because they have like Construction Toad, you know, like working on all the stuff, and you know, even in the newer Mario games, you get so much Toad in those things, and you know, I'm all for it. I'm all for. Toad coming up in the limelight. It's the year of Toad. 2021 is the year of Toad. Okay, so let's make it happen.
And they're like cycling these characters, you know, like while Wario had his time in the 90s, while Luigi was popular for a while, of course Luigi had his whole franchise, and they're realizing, hey, we got quite a lot of people in this franchise. Let's try and highlight some of them.
Yeah, let's have a year of Rosalina for me. All right.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I want to see like a whole slew of Rosalina properties.
Rosalina in Siege, Rosalina in Ghost Recon. I want Rosalina in everything. That'd be great.
The first, I just Googled Rosalina, and the first like Google auto question is, who is Rosalina's boyfriend? And it's Ludwig von Koopa is Rosalina's boyfriend for some reason.
I love that like that many people have searched that Google's like, yeah, I know what you want to see.
Yeah, I know what you're looking for. Okay.
Don't even take a back seat. Lean back in your chair. I got it from here.
Is Rosalina Waluigi's girlfriend?
No, of course not. She could do a lot better than Waluigi, I would think.
I think Waluigi, wait. I don't, this is not, this is like fanfic, I think.
Yeah, I think you got to be careful where you're headed here, because this can go down some rabbit holes you may not be able to come back from.
Yeah, I feel like this is not something I should pursue further. But yeah, I
was just like, this is nintendofanfic.ru. I don't know if this is canon.
Yeah, but I would love to see more Rosalina in everything. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, all kidding aside, I think it does speak to just Nintendo's mastery, and this is hardly news, of just like, you know, they really can take anything and just turn it into an incredibly polished and accessible and really wonderful video game, like very few other companies can do. So kudos to them. Even their like weird side characters are extremely adorable and fun. So
yeah, so much charm.
I hope you get that code. Yeah, charm coming out the ears. So yeah, I also played another game that I'll talk about more next week. I played that whole thing. That was fun. But I'd love to hear what you got up to this week.
So, I played a lot of a game. It's a game.
Nice. And, that's good.
You know,
it's a good starting place.
So I played some Apex. I got into that, you know, as usual, some of the other old favorites. I played some Final Fantasy 14 and, immediately bought clothes. You know, I sent you a picture. I was like, I need the school uniform now that
was that the collegiate skirt?
It's the collegiate skirt and jacket. Yeah.
I only know that because I saw someone wearing it and examined it and went to the market board to see if I could find it. And of course, it's not on there. I was like, oh.
It's $20.
Yeah.
For the outfit. It's too much. Way too much. But
yeah, I swear, I'd buy a lot more clothes if they were cheaper. But we've had this conversation before. I'm sure they don't care. They know what they're doing.
If they were $10, man, I would buy everything. You know what I mean? Like, it would be so easy to rationalize. At $20, it's just like, hem and haw about buying them. And
that's like almost a whole new expansion.
Yeah, but I had to have it. I had to have the uniform.
It's a dope look. You look fresh as hell.
Yeah, it looks super fresh, especially like when you're carrying a sword like samurai in it. Yeah. You know, like it's so good. Plus, I have so many, like, I'm so into glasses. So I have so many pairs of like the glasses and the monocles and everything. Like,
yeah,
I'm here for it. I'm ready, right? So
you look very studious.
I thank you. I'm a collegiate hero of light. So it fits. You know, it fits what my purpose.
Yeah, just because you're tough doesn't mean you can't be smart, you know?
Yeah, I also figured out how to run instances or dungeons, like the trust system pre-trust. We might need to talk about that.
Oh,
because I know that's something you were looking for. I'm not sure if it counts towards quests. You'd have to test that out because I don't have any dungeon quests. Oh, but okay. You can do it. You got to level up your barracks or whatever if you know that system.
Nope.
Right?
Never heard of it.
Yeah. But we don't need to go into the details of that here.
Yeah, we can take that offline. But one thing I did want to mention about Final Fantasy XIV, not to hijack, is I ran into Ramza from Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah, he's there.
And I was like, what the hell is going on? And then it's like this whole side mission where you go to Ivalice and Rabban
Asker
from FF12, and then it's a raid. And I was like, I haven't done the raid, but I was like, holy shit. So
yeah,
that was really
good,
surprising.
Man.
When he walked up, I was like, is that Ramza? What the hell's going on? And then sure enough, yeah, it's very cool. I love how they just pull in other, and it makes me wonder. I'm like, what is this connected to Ivalice? I guess it is in lore. It's very, very confusing, but very cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I love how they pull stuff in. Like, you know, they're not afraid of, they're not precious about their lore, and I think that makes it great.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Totally.
I think I think that's what's so fun about 14, right? Is it's still heavy, it's still emotional, it's still impactful, but they're not, you know, like other Final Fantasy games try to be so serious, and then like, you know, like 15 is like trying to be so heavy, and then they have the fucking ramen thing for some reason.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like they're too precious about it to do something that's like this, where in 14, you know, you got the Nier stuff, you've got tactic stuff, you got just kind of all these other things kind of merging in, and and they just tie it in. They're like, all right, that sounds fun, let's do that, right? And I just, that attitude really seems to permeate the game, and I'm here for it.
I agree. I think they have the freedom because it is so big and so massive and such a financial success. It's almost like Fortnite, where they're just like, it's not like Fortnite, but in terms of just like being open and being like, yeah, hell yeah, especially if it's a Square Enix property, why the hell not? You know the people, you just got to call them.
Yeah, and Yoshi P probably runs Square by now, like with the amount of money he's made for them. So I can't imagine if he's like, I think this is a good idea. They're not like,
they're like, I don't think so. We're going to have to run it by our board.
Yeah, no, Yoshi P can do what he pleases, which makes me really excited for 16. You know, like I am excited to see what he can make with the mainline Final Fantasy
Hopefully
game.
It's a little more experimental, or they just give him the leeway to be like, all right, man, do it. And he knows how to get shit done, you know? So hopefully it won't run into something like 15, which was around for 100 years before it came out and then was disappointing.
Yeah, I hope it's fucking wild, man.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they just do some fucking wild out like shit with it. If they're not going to go back to like the basics, which I also would love if it was like 9. Yeah. If they're not going to do that, I hope it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, you know, like they did with Resident Evil, which we'll talk about later. But like, yeah, that idea of like, well, let's just do something crazy then.
Yeah, like maybe change the perspective, right? Like, let's let people look at this in a different way that's interesting and fresh.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll see. I'm excited too, though.
Another game I played, and this, just like you, it was free on Epic, so I thought I would try it out, was Battlefront 2, the game wouldn't work for a while because people were playing it.
Yeah, so what do you think? I didn't download it, but I did get it. I look forward to trying it at some point, but...
It's fine.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think, so I didn't play it, obviously, when it launched. I really had little interest in it, and I think most people felt that way. I played the first one, the first one and the first of these two, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of shortcomings to that game, even as a free game. Like, you know, like the unlock stuff part of me is like, well, you got to play for a little while and unlock the guns and shit, right? Because it's just like, I don't know why that impulse is so strong with me, but it is there. And I'm just like, okay, I got to unlock all the guns. Like, I can just do this passively. I can listen to podcasts. So let's just do this part of it. But I think if that wasn't there, I wouldn't play at all because I really don't find the gameplay that fun, right?
Interesting.
And I think the vehicles are really bad. Like, I think as someone that's played a lot of flight games and enjoys, flight sims and space sims and space dogfighting games and regular dogfighting games.
Dogfighting games? Is that Michael Vick, the game?
Yeah, like Michael Vick's Dogfighting Simulator 2020. It's really good. But no, like War Thunder or something, yeah. A traditional dogfighting game. I find this to control in a like it just feels disgusting with mouse and keyboard. I'm sure it's better with a gamepad, but I was just like, can you fix? Is there a setting that I have wrong? Because this is not correct, like the way it feels to fly. Yeah. But the guns are so boring because they're all lasers. You know, yeah. Like it's the same. I felt that about every Battlefront game. Is it's just the guns just suck. Like they all suck because they all shoot really similarly and sound very similar. And
yeah.
The cooling system that's reloading. You know what I mean? Yeah. Disguised as like. Vent off the heat. If you can do a perfect heat vent, you'll vent faster. And it's just like, okay, just why don't you just fucking call it reloading? Like, this is so, it's so dumb to disguise this as some like new mechanic. But I find it overall pretty boring. I think some of the environments are cool. Like, I will say, like, one of the things I like is some of the combat arenas are like in a town, like in Tatooine or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's just like a gang of people running around, right? Like, like you land.
Can you imagine? There's like,
you land as the Empire and the round starts and people just scatter, right? Like everyone just starts running from where you land and they're just like racing, like they're racing through the buildings as you're running around trying to hunt down the rebels, you know?
That's cool.
And I will say, like, that feels. Like, they're not real. You can't shoot them. You know, you can't really interact with them. But that does offer, like, a level of feeling that I think is really good. I think that's a smart decision and something you don't see nearly enough in multiplayer games because it's not, like, competitively viable, right? Like, it kind of breaks the game in some ways as far as, like, you know, ruining your kind of, like, movement you see. You know, definitely gives Rebels an advantage because they can kind of exist among those people.
Too bad you can't, like, take hostages. That'd be cool.
No, I mean, it would be cool if you could truly interact, or if you could just kill them all, right? Like, as dark as that is, like, if that was, like, all right, we landed, we're here, we need to, like, clean this place out so we're, like, not distracted when we fight and you just murder them, right? Like,
like that's, no Russian.
Well, you know, you're the fucking intergalactic empire, right? Nazis, like, like, that's what we do. We're not here to, like, make friends. We're not here to liberate this village. You know what efficient. I mean? Yeah, we're here to wipe out the resistance, and these people are in our way, you know?
Yeah.
So that would be more interesting, but I do think it's a cool, like, tie-in. I hate seeing the new Star Wars characters in it for some reason, because I just think Finn and Rey are so bad. Like, I don't like them in the new Star Wars movies, and I really just seeing them in game is just like they don't really need to be here. But they do have an Ewok mode that's pretty cool. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It's like a zombie mode, but you're Ewoks.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like stormtroopers that land in Endor, right? And they have to survive these Ewoks. And it's just
that's very cool.
It's pitch black, right? So all you have is a flashlight. And the Ewoks are like have the like the tree village, right? So they're just like running around above you in the trees with like their Ewok night sight, you know, jumping down and shooting like fucking.
That's actually awesome. That's a really creative, like,
Yeah, and cool. It's. I don't think it's a good game mode, right? Like, because it's not. I don't even think it's that, like, tactical, right? You know, and maybe just because you're playing in, like, you know, pickup groups or whatever.
Yeah.
It could use some love, but it's cool.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Conceptually, that's a neat take.
Yeah, the idea is great that you're these fucking Ewoks just hunting stormtroopers in the dark. You know, it's so fun. My advice playing that is stormtroopers just hide in a cave together and murder all the Ewoks that come. It's kind of easy that way.
If they had done that in that movie, in the actual Ewok battle, they would have won.
Yeah, just no back problem. Yourself up into a cave. You got the firepower, you know, and make them show their face and blast their faces off. But
done.
But that's pretty cool. And, you know, there are some interesting modes, but I find it pretty underwhelming. Usually I'll play a couple rounds to try. Honestly, all I've been doing right now is playing co-op to unlock guns and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that will make the game feel better. But I will say the co-op's probably the funnest version of the game because you just play with four people and murder, like, hordes of the other team, right? Because it's all AI.
Yeah.
And they're easy to kill. And, you know, that's that way you can, if you want to be Darth Vader, you could unlock him really fast, right? Because he uses points, and you know, you can kind of do all the power fantasy stuff you want without some fucking try hard, like, you know, try hard Yoda fucking jumping everywhere, killing everybody, right? Because he's been playing the game, he's been the only guy playing this game for fucking 4 years,
especially on Epic,
the fucking lonely. Fucking Battlefront 2 player that paid $60 for this piece of shit all by himself.
Right, I'm gonna get my fucking money's worth. Yeah. Dropped 2,000 hours in this game. Yeah, I did. So what? Fuck you, I'm Yoda.
He's got all the skins and shit. Like, you know. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when he comes.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Well, there's. I remember when it came out, like, it looked nice. And there is something to, like, you know, a franchise like Star Wars or Star Trek or, you know, those franchises. Harry Potter, I'm sure, is another one where, like, if it can make you feel like you're there and it can, like, you know, tackle the environments and the characters in a way where it really does feel like you're there. That alone can be very powerful, but it's not really enough.
Everywhere it leverages the nostalgia, I love, right? Yeah. So when you're in Hoth and you have like the Hoth, the snow uniforms and the snow stormtroopers, you know, with the long hats and stuff and all that stuff, I love. It feels, it's fun to like look at that stuff and look at the costumes and to be like Return of the Jedi Leia bounty hunter, you know, like is the thermal detonator is so cool.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that game is like, oh, you know, now you're First Order fighting against the fucking skinny robots. I don't even know what they're called. You know, like the first, the Phantom Menace battle droids, right? Yeah. And they're like, and they're all quirky because those battle droids, for some reason, were like, oh, this is impossible. You know, and you're like, God, this sucks.
That movie is brutal. Like, I watched it pretty recently. It's a rough watch.
Why are they trying to be funny? That's what I don't get. Like, why are those stupid droids trying to be funny? And why do they continue that in this game where they're like, they're those robots with that shitty personality? And it's like, just turn off their voices, please, God. Anywhere it kind of leverages the newer Star Wars, it just, it loses me because the game's not that good, right? So the nostalgia makes it fine. Like, it makes it playable to me. But anywhere it's like not... kind of banking in this old nostalgia for me, I'm just like, this sucks. Like, I'm not that into this at all.
Yeah. And I still have trouble believing that there's nostalgia for the prequels, even though they came out a long time ago now and they're old. Like, I just don't, even if you grew up with them, like, I can't imagine being like, oh, it's so cool, I'm on Naboo. Like, they're just not good.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a lot of little girls that wish they were Queen Amidala. No, you know what I mean?
She's so lame in the movies. She's not a cool character, sadly. Like, at least Rey is, like, pretty strong. Say what you want about, like, the writing, et cetera. But, like, at least she's a,
you know, strong character. At least she's a hero.
Amidala sucks. She falls in love with an 8-year-old. Well, anyway, this is not a Star Wars podcast, but.
Yeah, she does suck. Yeah, I don't like Rey. I don't like Finn. Like, the way they're written. I mean,
I agree. There's a lot of issues with it.
Yeah.
But at least she doesn't try and fuck an 8-year-old.
Yeah, Kylo Ren's the only good thing about the latest ones. Right, I think he's good. And I think his, Adam Driver's really good. You know,
he's
like
just a good actor.
Even when you see him as that shitty character, like when you see Finn yelling like "Ray," it's like, this is so stupid, right? But when you see Kylo Ren like pained, you're like, "Fuck, man!" Like that dude is like vibing right now. You know what I mean? Like it really does hit, and it really shows kind of how good that guy is, man.
Yeah,
like,
he's really even good. With bad material, it makes it very engaging.
Same people wrote his parts that wrote Finn's parts. You know what I mean? So good. But okay game. I mean, I wouldn't buy it. So
no one did.
So if you got the free version, it's worth playing, especially if you got nothing to play. Like if you're just looking for something to play, especially if you got friends that want to like jump in it with you.
Yeah,
it is fun, goofy, especially like doing the heroes mode and running around as Yoda and. You know, of course.
Yeah, that's how World War Z is too. It's very like, you've never played by yourself, but if you have someone or a couple of people to play with, it's super fun, just mindless while you talk about other stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a good time.
Yeah,
Especially the
value in that.
Yeah, if you had four people that are playing it, and you just want to do the co-op and just talk shit while you're doing it, and everyone plays the heroes, and you just run around slaughtering shit, like that's pretty fun. I gotta say, like I think that would be a good time to have with this game. But as a multiplayer shooter, it's wanting. It left me wanting.
Yeah, fair enough.
Is there anything else I played this week? I played some more Ghost of Tsushima because I love it. That's mostly it. I played a little Lost Ark, just kind of the stuff I've been playing. So
yeah,
yeah, nice. nothing too revolutionary. All right, so let's take a quick break because we got some big news to talk about.
Oh yeah.
All right, Leo, did you have a good break?
Yeah, I watched The Phantom Menace again while we took our break, and yeah, it's still not good.
I mean, that part where Jar Jar Binks is like swinging around on the tank, you know, and
yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. He is he's unbelievable. Like
he's powerful. He's powerful.
He's very powerful. It's a fucked up movie. I tried to watch Attack of the Clones as well afterwards, and I just couldn't. I really tried. I watched like 30 minutes of it. I was like, this is not a good use of my time, even though I really wanted to try and get through it again.
Yeah, who the fuck made those movies? Like
George Lucas.
God damn it. I know, just like, god damn it.
Yeah, it's
it,
very
right?
strange. Like, it's very bizarre. They're very strange movies. Like, watching them again after many, many years, it was like surreal. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, I don't think George Lucas sucks.
No, he does.
Does he suck?
Yeah,
in movies?
Dude, all the movies he made are bad, except the original Star Wars. Well, and I don't know, I haven't seen American Graffiti, but I mean, as far as like Star Wars, his impact on Star Wars, other than creating the universe, which admittedly is pretty important, like all the ones he directed are not good.
Indiana Jones is good.
I don't like Indiana Jones, and I don't think he directed those, did he?
Let me see.
He directed Willow, I think, which I also don't like. I thought that was Spielberg who directed Indiana Jones.
You're right. He didn't direct many of these movies. Yeah,
the only one he directed were the three prequels, which are awful, and then A New Hope, which is pretty good, but is the weakest of the three. And that's it.
Wow, you're right. Yeah. He does suck.
He does.
I was wrong.
He's a good world builder, but he's a terrible writer and a bad director, as far as I could tell.
He's just good at writing checks.
Yeah, he's very good at that.
That's all he knows, all he knows how to do is... write a story and write a check so he can be the producer. Yeah. And
he's very good at that.
Otherwise, he fucking blows, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's kind of interesting.
Wow. It is really
I remember when I was young and I learned that he did not direct Empire or Return of the Jedi. I was like, oh, what? He didn't even write them. He just was the story consultant.
This makes a lot of sense.
It does, right?
I'm going to be honest. Yeah.
The less George Lucas, the better. Strangely,
because New Hope is dumb.
Yeah,
like
it's
I like
cool.
New
like
Hope,
it
but
lays
so
the
dumb.
Groundwork, and the desk. You know, there's some definitely some cool sequences, but it's clearly the weakest of the three.
Yeah, it's a different type of movie than the following films. Yeah. So, that's not here we're talking about. But
sorry for that, everybody. But you know,
it's all right. I'm kind of mind blown. To be honest, I'm a little speechless that he didn't direct any of the Star Wars. I should have known that, but I didn't. All right, so I got a couple stories that I want to talk about today.
Yeah.
Well, first one we'll get into, we'll talk about some Blizzard news first.
Oh, yes. All right. Back in the headlines.
Back in the headlines, and these are kind of related. So the first thing we'll say is Diablo 2 remake is coming.
Yeah.
And that kind of comes at the same time as we learned that Vicarious Visions has been... like totally merge into Blizzard now. They're not going to make their own stuff anymore. They did Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 that just came out. Yeah. They did the Crash remakes. They do a lot of these remakes that have been coming out lately.
Yeah, and very good by all accounts.
And have been killing it, right? Which is what I think is so sad about it. It's like, oh, you made these great games. Not anymore. You know, they're definitely trapped in... the Blizzard cocoon now, which I don't know if they're happy about or not. But
I'm sure whoever got the buyout is happy.
Yeah, whoever got the money's happy. But now they are full-time making Blizzard stuff. And yeah, we'll see how that goes. I mean, Vicarious Visions was part of Activision, right?
I don't know. I actually didn't dive too far into this, and it does get confusing. Because I know they were closely related with the original Tony Hawk's. But, you know, that company's gotten so big, and it's so many tendrils in so many places that I've really honestly lost track of... of where VV actually sits in that and the details of the acquisition. But from what I understand, yeah, Vicarious Visions is no more. They're just dissolved. And I'm sure they're still a team. And, you know, I hope the terms of the deal were very favorable to them and their IPs and everything. But yeah. Bobby Kotick's in charge of Vicarious Visions, basically.
So on January 22nd, 2021, Vicarious Visions was moved by Activision Blizzard from a subsidiary. I know how to say it. I just can't say it. Of Activision to a subsidiary of Blizzard Entertainment.
Yeah.
going forward. Yeah. So they were under Activision. What's wrong with me? 2005, they were under, they became
Activision. So that was during like Tony Hawk's heyday.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that was like Tony Hawk's heyday. So yeah, they were making those games and then did the remakes, which were extremely successful. And the Crash remakes were very successful too. And so I think it's kind of sad that they're not going to be able to make that stuff anymore and are going to be forced to make Blizzard's whatever coming out now. And what do you think about this Diablo 2 remake?
I think we should say, I don't believe it's been officially announced, but it's essentially all but officially announced. I haven't seen a trailer or anything. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. I mean, I love Diablo 2 deeply. It's a really important game to me and a lot of people. I think it's the fact that the servers are still running strong after all these years. It's like 20 years old and there's still no trouble finding a game. It really speaks to how, the longevity of this very special game at the time. So much so that I'm not exactly sure what the demand for a remake actually will be, especially after, as you mentioned, the absolute catastrophe that was the Warcraft 3 remake. I assume that they learned a lot from that, and I have a pretty strong sense that especially a game as well-loved as Diablo 2, after what happened with Warcraft 3, they'll be very, very careful, which is probably why they just brought in an entirely new team. So I'm optimistic in that I can't imagine they're going to make the same mistake again. Like, that'd have to be pretty insane, right?
I can definitely imagine it.
After, like, some of the weird shit they've been doing, I wouldn't be shocked. But yeah, all that to say too, like, is there really a need for a Diablo 2 remake? And what does that look like? Like, are there going to be quality of life improvements? If so, like, how much of the actual game is it going to be? Is it just going to be upscaled? Is it going to be ported to other devices? Like, it'd be cool to have Diablo 2 on the Switch, assuming it plays properly. I mean, it's such a PC game that it'll be very interesting to see what a remake actually even means, because it's still completely playable now. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, I am not optimistic just because of who Blizzard is now. I feel like they've definitely lost that, at what point do you finally say, like, all right, you guys just aren't
good anymore? Well, but they pulled in a different team, you know? Like, it's not really Blizzard making this. It's Vicarious Vision just, you know what I mean? Like, at least they had the sense to get someone else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but it's still Blizzard, right? Like, I don't think the problem Blizzard has is the quality of talent, the people that can make these games, right? I don't think there's a talent issue at Blizzard.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there's a management issue, there's a directional issue, and that's not going to change with a new team, right? I think you're still going to have these problems with direction, and I think Diablo 2 is a hard game to remake, to be honest with you. Like, I think it gets a lot of passes for being old on things that we might consider very out of date and very kind of unfriendly in a modern game, right? Like being locked into builds, right? Like having to remake a character to change a build is pretty insane in 2021, right? Like, I don't think you could even get away with that anymore. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that. There's a lot of kind of bullshit in that game, which I think make it magical, right? Like, I think that's a lot of the value in Diablo 2 is it is this kind of precursor to modern gaming, but it's still modern in its own way, right?
It's like modern. It's just modern enough, but it does definitely feel like a game locked in the time period it came out with, where a lot of people have great nostalgia for that time period. So I think you're right. It is a kind of a combination of both those things.
It's like a classic car, right? Like, you know, it's
hard to drive.
It's great. It's hard to drive. It doesn't stop well. The windows are cranked. It's got an AM FM radio, but it's beautiful. And it's got a style about it that, doesn't really, that kind of transcends time. But, you know, a new Camaro is, if you take a new Camaro, it's not a new old Camaro. Yeah. It's a different property. And I think that's kind of what we're going to see. I would imagine this is going to be a lot like, Diablo 3, you know what I mean? Like, like it's really going to just play and feel like that, kind of with the Diablo 2 storyline on top of it. And I don't know if that's a good idea.
It's not a good idea.
You know what I mean?
I hope they don't do that. I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be interesting because there's Diablo 4. There's still Diablo Immortal, if anyone gives a shit about that. And this, they all need to feel pretty different. So it'll be interesting to see how they how and if they're able to walk that tightrope. And I am optimistic because I think I'm sort of an optimist in general, but I totally hear you that Blizzard seems to be in a really bad place right now. And in so many ways, not financially, but, you know, it's sort of a creative deficit. And to your point, I think you're right. It's not a talent issue at all. It's really just strange choices made at the top.
Hey, Leo, I have a question for you. Is Overwatch 2 real?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about that. Like, they're not, they just released a new map in Overwatch, and full disclosure, I still play the first Overwatch a lot. I really like it. But I have no fucking idea. I think it's, we said it when it was announced. It seemed insane at the time. And the fact we have heard literally zero things about it since is very bizarre.
It's insane. Utterly
strange.
This is going to be a big foil hat episode, right? So put on your foil hats,
get
guys.
Get your hat.
I'm starting to think Overwatch 2 was never.
They just pretend. They're just like, thing. People are like, hey, where's Overwatch 2? They're like, what? We never announced that. And you go to YouTube to find it, and it's just gone. Scrubbed.
Yeah, I just think they had a BlizzCon with nothing to push, right? Other than bad news, other than a mobile Diablo game, right? And they needed good news, right? And they thought they could get people excited about Overwatch 2, or at least have, like, a positive story.
Yeah.
And they kind of pitched it, and it wasn't received that well, and they're like, oh, well, I guess it doesn't really matter. Like, we, you know, we didn't really work on it anyway, so
yeah, all we did was make a trailer, so we're good.
Yeah. And the trailer was probably for already existing Overwatch.
Yeah, you could have
stuff,
very
right?
easily plugged that into, Overwatch.
This was probably already part of Overwatch planned, right? And they're just like, we'll just call it Overwatch 2. People get fucking hype. And then people are like, oh, we're not that hype. But they're like, all right, just who cares? Like, just throw it away, right? Like,
no one's going to remember this.
Yeah, they'll just forget. And people kind of have, you know? Like,
yeah, it's true. No one's talking about it, that's for sure. That was years ago now, right? Like, what the hell?
Nobody's talking about it, right? And it's like, you just think about it, you're like, is that a real thing? Like, it was years ago. When was it? Oh, I'm gonna look up when was Overwatch 2
I
want
to say
announced?
I mean, it's hard to tell because time's gotten so weird, but I want to say 2018.
Yeah. Announcement date, let's see. No, it's not telling me the announcement. They're saying more details at BlizzCon this year. I want the original announcement. Why won't it tell me? 2019. Yeah, BlizzCon 2019.
Okay.
So, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah.
Like,
a little bit less than that. But still, long enough to not hear anything is very strange.
About a game that's not a whole game.
Yeah.
Right? A game that's supposedly built on top of the previous, like, it's a sort of game.
Yeah, and they were never very clear about that either. So it's, I don't know, man. It does not inspire confidence, though, to your point.
No, Blizzard fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Blizzard fucking sucks now.
You heard it here first, folks.
It's sad. It's a sad, sad state of affairs. All of our, like, behemoths, all of our, like, giants are falling in gaming. You know, and maybe it's a
good
thing.
Except Nintendo.
Except Nintendo, right? It's the last pillar standing. It's like, it's the last monolith among all the gods of gaming still standing strong, while everyone else just falls to their knees and dies a slow, ugly death. You know,
well,
it's really sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Bethesda's dying.
Bethesda, I think, right? is up there, certainly by where. I don't know if they ever achieved the level of success, but as far as like critical reception and sort of love, BioWare really feels like it's gotten in the way of Blizzard for sure.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, until we got, and maybe not even after, even Activision, I thought was in pretty rough shape, other than Modern Warfare, right? I feel like that kind of bought them some time, but then Black Ops comes out and I'm like, oh, you guys are still that.
Yeah.
You are still those people.
That was not a change of direction. It was just a one-off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just a one-off. It was just a talented team, you know, that came in and made the Modern Warfare.
Like, despite Activision, not because of
despite being on the shitty launcher and fucking, I hate.
Actually, I went on the Battle.net launcher. I couldn't find Modern Warfare, which is weird. I didn't look super hard, but it's not there anymore as far as, like, I don't know. I couldn't see it. It was just Warfare or whatever it's called, the Battle Royale mode, and then the Modern Warfare 2 remake, and then Black Ops. But I couldn't actually find the launcher for Modern Warfare. It must be buried in some menu.
You might have to get to it through Warzone.
That's fucked up.
I know, but that's because it's the same.
But that's really
unacceptable
to me.
It's the same software is why.
That's whack. That's like the best thing that they've put out in a very long time, and to like hide it is so upsetting.
Yeah, I don't see it either, and I own
it. Yeah, I own it too.
You know. But I bet it's through Warzone you have to do it.
That's gross to me. So like to play the single player mode, I'd have to download Warzone.
Yeah. Blech. Oh, why did I started it up, and then Black Ops started updating, and I'm like, I don't need to update that.
Not right now.
I'll just uninstall it. Yeah. So speaking of companies that are fucking sucking it up right now, what's up with Microsoft, Leo?
I don't know, man.
What's going on?
I want to preface this by saying, like, we actually don't love, well, I don't love talking shit about Microsoft, but like, they just...
I'm really into it. I know you are. I'm really into it.
I just want to make it clear, like, we don't seek these stories out. We genuinely don't. Like, they're just in the news constantly, and there has been zero good news. Even the Bethesda acquisition that they were so excited about is, like, you know, worth talking about, but it's certainly not a sign of a change in direction. However, I think it's fair to say this latest reason they're in the headlines is very puzzling, to say the least. Do you want to maybe describe kind of what happened?
Okay, so I was on the Twitter, and if you guys have...
Oh, you're in the Twitterverse, are you?
I was on the Twitterverse. I was tweeting my tweets, and I saw something come across. I don't remember who posted it, but someone posted that Microsoft was doubling their price of Xbox Live Gold. So it was going to be $120 a year for online, right? Normally it's $60 a year retail, and you can find, you know, deals that are like $30 or $40 a year. I think I just sent you one for PlayStation that was $25 a year, like 26 or something.
Bucks for a year. A year. Mm-hmm. But you had to buy
$50 basically for 2 years. Yeah.
Which seems perfectly reasonable.
Pretty reasonable, right? So this tweet goes out that they're doubling their price. This is confirmed across the board. It basically says if you renew, you're going to have to pay the new price, which is $120 a year. Xbox Ultimate, I believe, is $180 a year, which is Live plus Game Pass. Yeah. And that's PC and console, so it's like the everything package. So, you know, it really seems like they were trying to be like, Live is a bad deal, so buy Ultimate. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it seemed like to me.
Well, for sure. I mean, what other reason could there possibly be?
What other reason could there possibly be, Leo? That's what I'm asking right now, because everyone got outraged. Articles were written. People were mad. Doubling the price sucks. Doubling the price during a pandemic where people are stuck at home and not working but want to be able to play their Xboxes. Double sucks. People were in a fucking tizzy, all right? I mean, hours later. Like, hours later. Yeah. Newswire hits. I get a telegram. All right. Coming across. Xbox Live Gold is now not going to double their price.
Oh, wow. How generous of them.
And they're going to allow people to play free-to-play games without Live Gold now, which is kind of always been the way on PlayStation.
Yeah, I was about to ask if that's the case with PlayStation, because I think it is, right?
Yeah, I've always had PS Plus, but you can play Fortnite or Warframe or any of those kind of free-to-play games, Warzone, without PS Plus. So they're kind of now matching the offering of PlayStation, and I don't know, man. Strangely, I've seen some people positively receive this, like that this is Xbox, like, listening to the fans or offering something better. This all seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I think
just a crazy series of
events.
It's
very weird. I think, like, our perspective is one of, like, we've worked for big companies in marketing, so we kind of have that perspective, which might be different than just, like, someone who just likes, you know, I don't know. There's different ways to look at this, but from my perspective, I find it utterly mystifying, just because I can't imagine what was happening behind the scenes for this cycle, which, again, I believe all happened within 24 hours, if not 12. Like, I cannot fathom what was happening at Microsoft when this was all going down. To put this giant press release out, which, as you know, is a huge collaborative activity. It's not like one person sending a tweet. You know, it's entire departments having to get together to make this decision. have like probably
and no one's allowed
probably focus testing.
No one person.
Yeah.
No one person's allowed to say like,
yeah. Hey, what if we cancel
the double price and give them something else? Right.
Right. Yeah.
These are decisions that take weeks to implement.
So the only
right?
thing I can imagine, again, I have no inside source on this. It's purely speculation. Is that they almost planned like, well, we'll try it, and if people hate it, then we need to have a backup plan, right? Because how else could you possibly do it?
Yeah, turn on the death ray, and if people complain, turn off the death ray and give them all a cookie. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, it's like,
and then they'll remember we gave them a cookie.
Yeah, it's like punching yourself in the face so it feels good when you stop. Like, it's just, it's a very strange.
Yeah, it's so strange. It's so premeditated. Yeah,
and it has
right?
to be. And like, I just,
it has to be.
And like, but the whole, like, of course people are going to get mad. And what I find interesting too is not even necessarily it's immoral for them to raise the price. Like,
no, it's not.
I don't care about that side of it necessarily. I don't find it to be really like, I'm suffering because my Xbox Live is now, you know, $10 instead of $6. I don't find that to be compelling. But what I find fascinating is that Microsoft, in the position that they are, so far behind, as far as I know, financially, as far as like Xbox sales, and certainly the goodwill of gamers as a community, that they thought this was a good idea. It'd be one thing if they were way in the lead, you know, and everyone had an Xbox and everyone was really into it, and then they raised the price, right? But to be like randomly raising the price when A, you can't get an Xbox even if you wanted one, which I mean, apparently people do since they're sold out. But that just
you wanted one, all right? Don't talk shit.
But it's just it's such a strange time to do this. On top of everything else. Time. And then to just be like, just kidding, never mind. It's
everything
bizarre.
About this shit is so bizarre, so strange.
It's like Xbox, so it's like Microsoft is just beyond prediction. Like you know what I mean? Like the smartest minds in the industry, which is not us, but you just can never predict what they're going to do. And I don't...
And not in a good way.
Not in a good way, unless they have some master plan, but they're not playing 4D chess as far as I can tell. They like just... I have no idea what they're doing. And this is a very clear example of that.
Yeah, I feel like it's like with Donald Trump, right? You know, like in the beginning, like some people were like, no, he's playing 4D chess. He's got you guys. He's
thought all this stuff out. It's all going to come to fruition.
And then by year three, you're like, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Dumbass. Like,
that's how I feel about Microsoft right now. It's like, all right, Game Pass.
Yeah. We were very bullish on that.
Yeah, they're going to pop off for the new Xbox, right? Then it starts getting closer and you're like, oh, that's really expensive. And you're like, ooh, that Halo looks bad. And you're like, oh, it's the lady year. And then it's just like more and more. It's just like, oh, like this is not 4D chess. Like this is
incompetence.
This is my dog playing checkers, right? Like no wonder nothing makes sense. There's a lizard making the decisions, right? Like I don't get it at all. No one should get it, right? Like this is beyond comprehension. How they can, like, what's crazy to me is, right, you do all this shit and it's like, what's your story?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we messed up today and you were right to let us know, Microsoft said late Friday in an updated blog post that has announced connecting and playing with friends is a vital part of gaming, and we fail to meet the expectations of players who count on it every day. As a result, we've decided not to change the price. Okay, that's their statement.
Which someone had to write.
How does that,
by the way?
Yeah, and how does that fucking explain the day? You know what I mean? Like, how does that explain what you did? It doesn't, you know? Like, you have to have a better story than that. You know, like...
yeah, I mean, that's why I really am deeply interested in what happened.
Yeah, you can't just say, like, oh... We messed up, so we undid the fucking unthinkable thing. You know what I mean? And
anyway, moving on. Yeah.
Here's something else. Moving on. It's like, what happened?
I don't know.
You know, like, tell us what happened. Like, tell us the evil CEO got his hands on the fucking back end and was like, we should raise this, you know, like something, right? Like, oh, make up a story. Like, make up a comic that there's an evil Microsoft CEO guy, C-level employee, not CEO. And, you know, he saw a chart and was doing some data-driven decision-making and was like, we should charge double for this. And once he turned it on, we all knew.
Then the real gamers who work at Microsoft
all the
were
gamers
like,
no,
you can't do this, man, come on.
Yeah, Phil Spencer had already gone home, but he immediately jumped on his fucking electric skateboard
and fucking zoomed to Steve Ballmer's house.
Yes, zoomed to Steve Ballmer's house.
Is he still the CEO? Fucking, I don't think he is, but whatever.
I don't know. Punched him with a Master Chief fist glove, right? And just hit the switch, the giant gold switch,
and turned it off.
And turned it back to good. Yeah. Turned it back to good. It's a switch that has a good and evil.
Yeah. That was a real close one, guys.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
don't worry, yeah. We got your back.
We fucking made it.
Whew.
There's millions of gamers out
depend
there.
Depend on us every day. I know. I love that. It's like every day. I don't know.
And it's just like, yeah, like
it's weird. It's very weird.
It's so unthinkable.
I wonder how, if Phil Spencer is, like, do you think he's going to stay there? Seems like he could be doing so much better somewhere else.
Yeah, if he stays at Microsoft, I think it's a real waste.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of
like,
is.
I think he's, I mean, he should go to Sony,
or he should, like, launch his own thing. I don't know, but he seems like...
Or launch his own, yeah, pull a Jeff Keighley, exactly, man, and just
something
be, like the
that.
Industry
yeah,
guy.
Something along those lines. Or, like, a consultant, or, like, I don't know, I feel like he's being wasted there.
Yeah, especially as the Game Awards is, like, losing the narrative, right? Yeah. Like, if you had your own, like, Phil Spencer, like, E3 Game Awards, like online event thing,
yeah,
you know, but made it, like, year-round,
like,
or had, like, a network.
Technology and game, or something, I don't know.
Yeah. If he had like a network, like a YouTube network show,
yeah,
right? That he did like,
yeah, that'd be fascinating,
once a week or something, would be great, right? Like, I would love, yeah, I really like Phil Spencer. I would love to hear him talk more, right? And especially openly,
yeah,
about
and not be sort of hamstrung by, yeah,
yeah,
I agree 100%.
About the things he's learned with his time.
That'd be awesome if Phil Cerny and Mark, or Mark Cerny and Phil Spencer had a show together. And they'd be,
yeah,
like,
that would be
awesome. It'd be so weird, but so, I would love that deeply.
That would crush Serial for number one podcast.
Seriously, because Mark Cerny could talk about the technology side. Phil Spencer could talk about the business side. And like those two insights,
yeah,
from, especially since they're from the two companies, would be incredible. But it's never going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's really wasted at Xbox,
yeah,
right? Because there's so little to like leverage his talents,
yeah,
with. Because he's done incredible things with what they've provided,
yeah,
him, you know?
Imagine if it wasn't him. Like,
yeah,
I don't even know if Xbox would still,
yeah, they
exist.
They would have died under,
yeah, like, literally, I'm not being hyperbolic. I wonder if they would even be a brand anymore, if it would have somehow. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's really rare you see such a talented person that's like a brand ambassador. Like, Reggie was kind of that for Nintendo.
Yeah.
I think Nintendo would have been fine without Reggie, yeah, but he obviously was a very talented person to,
yeah,
be the ambassador of that brand.
And he got him through some rough patches, too. He got him through GameCube and the Wii U.
Yeah, and I think Phil Spencer's clearly that. And more for Microsoft.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of everything for that company. And it seems like the people in his periphery are just...
I don't know,
like,
what they're doing.
And they're just constantly, like, lobbing shit missiles in the air that he is forced
to deflect.
Like, deflect and respond to,
yeah,
you know? And it's just, it's such a waste of his,
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I'd
it's
imagine
waste
he wakes up
talent
every morning and checks his email on his, you know, Surface Pro. And is like, God damn it! Are you kidding me? This is what I have to deal with today?
Dude, his happy hour conversations must,
yeah,
be the most amazing,
totally,
thing. You know, when he's like lamenting with the other NDA employees,
yeah,
like about his coworkers
like
and how they're, yeah, at Chili's, right? Like with the awesome blossom and a fucking and a Dos Equis,
yeah, or like a shitty margarita. Yeah.
Yeah, just talking about fucking, I work so fucking hard every day and these people know nothing and come in here and just
try and
fucking
flip the evil switch.
Yeah, try and flip the evil switch and fucking destroy it. And, you know, one of the few people I've heard, had so many coworkers tell me without them, the company would fall apart. And he's the one person I think,
yeah,
could legitimately make that claim,
yeah,
about a giant corporation.
Or at least Xbox. I think Microsoft would be
Xbox,
okay. But
not,
yeah.
Microsoft would definitely survive, but Xbox definitely would,
yeah,
not.
I agree.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think that's actually a positive thing we're saying about
it is.
Xbox
no, we've
there,
always
so
defended him. I mean,
write that in your book. All right, write that in your book.
Chronicles our
I can
life.
Say bad. Yeah, I can say bad stuff about PlayStation.
You just,
okay,
choose not to.
No, the stand sucks.
Mm.
Right? The,
I don't know.
The little
I wouldn't know. Okay,
PS5
Tony
stand. I mean, it's fine, but it's like kind of wobbly.
I still think the thing is
right?
fucking ugly. So take that, Sony.
I kind of like it. Yeah, the stand sucks.
It's pretty big.
it's really big. It doesn't boot up that well.
Oh, that sucks.
Like, it's fine. It starts and works. But I'll tell you, half the time I like hit the controller PS button and it just like doesn't turn on. And then I go push the button and it's like, oh, we turned off.
Yeah, we're not alive right now.
Yeah, like, okay. It's fine. I don't like lose anything, but it's like, and it's because I don't play it. I play it, you know, every 3-4 days or something. So it probably needs to be woken up a lot more often than that. But so that there.
See? So we're fair and balanced. Yeah. We're the Fox News.
Yeah. All right. I think that's pretty much our stories today. Leo, is there anything you want to talk about? Are there any games you're looking forward to playing here in the next week?
There is one thing I did want to talk about, which was the Resident Evil showcase.
Oh, I forgot.
Because, not because necessarily it's that interesting. It was kind of interesting. There was a, you know, they showed more Resident Evil 8 footage, which looks very cool. Very similar to 7.
The game looks... I put it out of my mind because that game looks too goddamn
spooky.
It
does look quite spooky, but also very like creative, and I just really love the direction that Resident Evil's going in terms of creativity. I've said this a lot, but I just really love that they're like, yeah, who fucking cares? Sure, there's like weird werewolves and like we're going in bizarre direction. I think that is so cool since so many franchises are afraid to do that, like we were talking about earlier. They also announced that there's going to be a port on the current gen consoles, so or I guess last gen now, the Xbox One and the PS4. Which I don't care about just because I can't imagine the performance is going to be very good. But it's nice that they did that. Mm-hmm. I believe if you buy a PS4 version, it automatically upgrades to PS5 version 2 for free. So that's nice. For someone like me, if I did want to play it on PS4 and then finally get a PS5, I don't have to buy it again. They also announced this weird, very shitty looking third person like battle royale thing with all Resident Evil characters. It's like to celebrate the 25th anniversary. So it's like a third person shooting game with all the characters, sort of like a Smash Brothers style, but they all just like fight in iconic Resident Evil locations. And it's like cel shaded. It looks kind of weird. And the footage was very bad. Like it looked like a very bad game. But, you know, I think it's very much a one off, kind of like the Resident Evil 3 multiplayer. I don't know why they keep doing this, where they just put resources towards making these things that nobody asked for and nobody wants just because they said they could.
I'm here for it. I want to play.
I mean, I'll play it because it comes with Resident Evil 8 for free. So, sure. It's just weird. It's like, if you have those people sitting around, like, I don't know, make something else. It's easy to say that, but
yeah,
just nobody asked for this and nobody wants this. So why do they keep doing this? I don't know. And they're also giving us what we do want. So I'm not like mad. You know what I mean? That's the part that's strange is I'm not like, you should have done this instead. It's just more of a, why do you keep creating things nobody asked for or wants?
Because the real game's too spooky for some of us.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe. But they also talked a little bit about the show. That was it. It was actually pretty, you know, no real new announcements, nothing super exciting. But what was funny about it, and the reason I wanted to bring it up, is just how hilariously thirsty everyone got for the characters they introduced. Like the internet just exploded with fan art of these women.
The spooky lady,
the very tall vampire spooky lady, and then also all her like daughters or whatever they are. Just all the subreddits were just flooded with art. Everyone was just talking about how much they want to bang these people, and you know this is hardly unique to this franchise. It happens in every franchise, but it's very strange when it happens, and it's so it's just odd. And I'm not judging, like whatever, I don't care. It's just the level of enthusiasm. When they just show a character who's like vaguely attractive, it's just crazy, man. I mean, it happens with Overwatch, it happens with everything, but it was very funny
she
to
does
see
have really,
it in,
really big boobs.
She does,
so.
And she's very tall, but she looks cool. Like the character designs are very cool objectively, but it's just funny to see like just the explosion of thirstiness from such a simple reveal was very, I don't know, just remarkable, I guess.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, people are weird.
People are weird. And again, I'm not trying to, you know, it's fine. It's positive. Whatever. People are excited about the game. I don't care. I'm not judging. It was just like, whoa, this is what we're all focusing on? Like, okay.
I searched Resident Evil 8 in the first autofill as Vampire Lady.
No, it's huge. Like, it literally has just flooded everything, which is great for them, you know? Like, there's no downside as far as they're concerned, I'm sure. But it was very, very sudden and very intense and very like, okay, Jesus. Like, you can't look up anything else. So anyway, all that to say, the fact that that's what was taken away from the showcase was pretty entertaining to me.
That is funny. Gamers
are weird. But all that aside, the game looks great. I don't know if I'll be able to play it since I don't have a PS5 or a new GPU, but it's coming out, I think, in May, and I'm sure it'll be very interesting. So, you know?
It looks so scary,
It
does dude.
Look very scary. It should be scary. Resident Evil's a horror franchise.
Oh, man. But yeah, but they're not all that scary. This one looks so scary. 7 was so scary, too. 7
was so scary, I couldn't even beat it. But I will eventually.
Yeah, it says she's 8 feet
tall. She's very tall.
People did the math.
It's cool. Like, she, like, has to duck under the door. It's very cool. Like, she really does look awesome, I think. I just don't I don't necessarily understand the, like, intense sexual attraction so many people seem to feel. But I do think she looks awesome. And, like, I'm very curious to see what her deal is. Like, why is she so tall? I don't know. But I'm sure there'll be a weird explanation. And I'm excited to find out why.
Yeah, I am not excited to find out
why. Well, I'm sure I'll talk about it in great length. So you'll have to hear about it anyway.
Yeah. Some of these memes. I'm looking at Mother Miranda memes now. I'm sorry. Yeah, you totally
lost let's wrap this up, and then you can go down that rabbit hole.
Everything else is too spooky. I can't with Resident Evil 8, but when it comes to fan art, I'm here for it.
There's plenty there for you.
Yeah, there is plenty there for you. Is there anything you're looking forward to playing this week?
I've talked about this at length, so I won't bore you further, but I love Mankind Divided. I think it's really incredible. So I'm really excited. Now that I've played this other game I have to review that I'll talk about next week, I'm really excited to get back into that and continue exploring and massacring people in this awesome open-ended cyberpunk future.
That's good. I mean, yeah. I mean, are you done with the other ones now? You're like ready for Mankind Divided?
Oh yeah, I've started playing it. I think I talked about it last week. I'm like in it and loving it.
Oh, wow.
It's so good.
It's
really incredible.
You are the Deus Ex. Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of Game of the Year lists, and so I'm really thinking about buying 13 Sentinels this week. It just seems so up my alley. It's the vanilla.
Oh yeah, I know what it is. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on it. It sounds like a very niche game for so many reasons.
It does. It sounds
like half visual novel, half like weird RTS.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like something I would play.
It's very anime.
That's the sad truth of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if that's, you know, a positive thing for me or a negative thing.
Or for the game. Sound like,
or for the game, but it does sound something.
Oh, you should check it out. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I have no interest in playing it just because it doesn't sound at all like up my alley, but I'd love to, you know, it's been interesting hearing people talk about it. It sounds like an interesting game, even if it's not
one. It does sound so interesting.
Going to prioritize.
Yeah, I just keep hearing about all this kind of anime shit under the hood and like time travel and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that does sound more interesting.
And I've always said, right? like I love the fact that there are weird ass interesting games that are totally unique. Even if I don't like them, the fact they exist makes me very happy. And, you know,
I just love weird shit, man.
Totally.
I love me some weird shit. All right. Well, you play some Mankind Divided. I'll play some 13 Sentinels.
We'll report back. We'll touch base.
Yeah, we'll report back in a week, and we'll see which one's a better game. Okay,
me versus you. I already know, but all right.
Yeah, so do I. All right, thank you guys. Shoot us an email, techcatpodcast@gmail.com. If there's anything you're looking forward to playing this week, if you are excited that Microsoft doubled and undoubled their price,
tell us. Yeah, or if you're excited about these vampire ladies, we'd love to hear why.
If you got any vampire lady fan art, you can send it to me. I'll check it out.
Go ahead, tag Tony.
Yeah, thank you guys. We love you. We appreciate your time. Have a great week and go play some games.